we have missed many things in our life until today only because of unbelief. It's a law of God. Just like it says, the measure you give, you'll get. In the measure you believe, you will also get. Many, many times I have found in my life, I only have to believe. There's no partiality with God. What He did for Jesus, He will do for me. Provided I follow the same laws like Jesus did. I can't sit back and say what God did for Jesus, He'll do for me and be proud. God will resist me. He never resisted Jesus because Jesus humbled Himself. So God is willing to do everything for me provided I live the way Jesus lived. And God will help me. For example, if I'm stingy and tight-fisted with my money, you ask yourself, what is your attitude to all the money you have, all your assets and all your wealth? And there you'll see the reason why God doesn't give you much. Because your assets and your wealth you possess. You hold it with a tight fist. You see why your Christian life is so shallow and third rate? I'm not asking you to give it to the poor. I'm asking you to open your hand and say, Lord, I don't want to hold it like that anymore, tight fisted. I want to open it and say, you can take it away from me if you like. Everything. That's how Jesus lived. All that I have is yours, Father. The Father said, all that I have is yours. How can you expect God to say to you, all that I have is yours, if you have not, like Jesus, first said to Him, all that I have is yours? Surely God will do for you what He did for Jesus, but you've got to say what Jesus said. Otherwise He won't do it, because the laws don't change. You remember the devil told Jesus, jump off the roof of the temple, the law of gravity will change for you. Do you think the law of gravity would have changed for Jesus at that time? Do you think if He had jumped off the temple, He'd have floated like some bird? Jesus wasn't so stupid to think that I can violate God's laws and somehow I will float around to the ground. No. He said, I won't do that. That'll be tempting God. There's a law of gravity. I know if I go off, I'll jump down. I'll fall down. So don't think that we can violate God's laws and think that God will do for me what He did for Jesus. He will not. But I can say this to every single person sitting here. I don't care who you are. Even today, if you have failed in all your past life, if you say to God today, Father, all that I have is yours, I can say to you in Jesus' name, the Father will say to you, all that I have is yours. According to your need. Maybe your need is to be a good mother. He'll say, I'll give you everything that you need to be a good mother. In my case, you're not called to be preachers. I'm called to be a preacher. So that's one of my greatest needs. I say, Lord, you got to give me words to speak to people. All that I have is yours. I will never seek my own in any area. I will not seek my convenience. I will not seek money. I will not seek my health. I will not seek anything. I will only seek your glory. And the Lord says, sure. Then all that I have is yours. Do you think there's a shortage of water in the river of God? Many times when I've got up into a pulpit not knowing what to say, I say, Father, the river of God is full of water. I know that. There's no dryness in that river. I want it to flow through me. I believe it will. Because I can't think of any area in my life that I have not yielded to you. I have no plan, no ambition, no desire for anything outside of your will. There's no place I'm not ready to go. If you tell me to go, I go. If you tell me not to go to some place, I'm not interested in going. All that I have is yours. And I've experienced that for many, many, many years. And I want to say to you, my dear brothers and sisters, I would plead with you. I beseech you, like Paul says, beloved brethren, think of what you have missed by being stingy with God, by not giving everything you have to God. Think what you have missed by making your own plans. Okay, you made your own plans and you made a lot of money and you went God advanced in the world. But think what you could have accomplished for God's kingdom. I'm not saying you didn't do anything. You did something. But it would have been 100 times more if you had given up your plans and said, Lord, I'll do yours. Did that time ever come in your life when you said, Lord, from now on, all that I have is yours. I will not hold anything back from you. In the Old Testament, there was a sacrifice called the burnt offering. And the burnt offering, you had to cut a bullock and put every piece on the altar. And when the last piece was put on the altar, the fire would fall from heaven. But supposing the priest said, hey, this is a good bit of the bullock's thigh. I'd like to take it home and have some steak or some good curry with that. And kept a little bit away. And all 99% of the bullock was there on the altar. Oh God, send the fire. Like many of us pray, baptize me in the Holy Spirit in fire. Oh God, send the fire, send the fire. We want the fire, send the fire. And we sing that wonderful song. No fire. Because there's something you have kept back for yourself. You can pray. You can pray for 100 years and sing that song. Send the fire, send the fire, send the fire. You can sing it for 100 years. There'll be no fire. It's just a nice melody. You feel nice and go home, but there's no fire. The other people who don't sing the song will get the fire. What do you want? If you want the fire of God, learn from that law of the burnt offering. When the last piece was put there, there's no partiality with God. What he did for Jesus, he'll do for you. Why did God anoint Jesus with the Holy Spirit? Do you long for that? You say, Father, I can never live this life without the power of your Holy Spirit. That's another thing I tell you. I believe a number of us do not value the fullness of the Holy Spirit. We have reacted against the extremes you have seen in Pentecostal churches and the fanaticism and say, no, 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 I don't want that. Well, I don't want it either. You read in Leviticus chapter 10 about the false fire of Nadab and Abihu. But 2 verses earlier, in the end of chapter Leviticus 9, I don't have time to show it to you, you see the real fire. It's a contrast between the real fire at the end of Leviticus 9 and the false fire in Leviticus 10. And I say, I don't want the false fire. But that doesn't mean I want no fire. Many, many Christians have reacted against the false fire and are living around with no fire. But they've got a doctrine. And they like to come to a nice church. See, oh, this is a wonderful church because they don't take an offering here. So I don't have to give any money. And everybody's very nice and we have some good messages here. Brother, if you don't get the fire, you're wasting your time sitting in CFC. There's no difference between sitting in CFC or any other dead church. If the fire of God is not in your life. Jesus had a fire. Because he gave everything. It's a law of God. Give and it'll be given to you. Let me show you now. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 6. And I'll read it in the Message Bible. A stingy farmer or planter gets a stingy crop. A farmer who just puts a few bits of seed into the ground, he gets a very small harvest. But a lavish farmer who puts all his seed into the ground, he gets 100 times a lavish crop. And so what should you do? I want each of you, as you have purposed in your heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. God is able to make all grace abound to you. You see, this is the promise for a man who has given everything to God. This is the most fantastic promise about grace in the whole Bible. There is no verse like this about grace in the whole Bible. 7 times you find in this one verse an abundance and a totality. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 8. God is able to make all grace abound so that always having all sufficiency in everything you may have an abundance for every good deed. You notice that 7 times? All grace abound, always, all sufficiency, everything, abundance, every good deed. is the most fantastic verse on grace in the whole Bible. It covers every possible situation we can ever face in our life. All grace means 100% of it. Not just in little teaspoons, abound like rivers. Always means 24/7. All sufficiency, that means sufficient for every single circumstance and situation I can ever face in life. In everything, in every single thing in life, I'll have an abundance, not just a teeny weeny little bit, an abundance for every single good deed God wants me to do. What more do I want on earth? What more do I want on earth than that verse? But, like it says in verse 6, if you're a stingy farmer, you'll get a teaspoon of grace. You won't get that. But Jesus said, all that I have is yours, Father. And Father said, sure, all that I have is yours too.